Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. And instead of going to the polls, I guess, we are having some fun with some other stuff, we'll say. How you doing, Nico?
Doing good. Vote whole thing, you know, got to do it, do your duty. But for now we're here and yeah, I mean, I'm doing all right. The sphere of AI seems to be holding steady. Yet another deal from OpenAI with, very unlikely partner. And like, this is the thing that I'm noticing that I really like about what's happening with this tech sphere in particular, as opposed to like most of the company conglomerate spheres that go on. What I'm noticing is that, again, there's this partnership, there's this teamwork that's happening that you just don't usually see when you see like companies doing deals with each other. For one thing, too, you don't normally, at least that I'm aware of, you don't really see this many public deals within the same sector of the industry, right? And again, you certainly don't see it where rivals are not trying to one-up each other in all of these deals, meaning that like AMD and NVIDIA are all involved, they're both involved in OpenAI. Now you have Microsoft and Amazon. So now Amazon's a new player, at the tune of like $38 billion or something like that. I forget. The only one left at this point that's holding out is Google. And I'm not sure, like, they're going to,
they got their own
knife in the back with Anthropic and everything too, right? So I'm sure that may not happen, but being that that's the case, that doesn't happen, it's like you have one juggernaut who is also tied with Amazon. Google and Amazon have some contracts, but they're not hefty. They're not what OpenAI just did. It's not $38 billion worth. I think it's like $6 billion or something that Anthropic has into, or I'm sorry, that Amazon has into Anthropic. Everybody's trying to keep up with Qwen. Qwen 3 is really surprising people, which is Alibaba's model. Minimax M2 starting to gain quite the attention, right? Starting to see a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of YouTube shorts, seeing a lot of TikTok videos about Minimax. I would say TikTok at this point is flooded with Claude, Minimax, and I see a lot of like Adobe, CapCut, obviously. Like I see a lot of like I guess trendy AI. I hate to say that, but I kind of, you know, Anthropic to me is much more of a student of Apple than OpenAI is, so I kind of put them in that category of like they're trying to be like the nifty cool kid AI. In terms of their image and their branding, I don't mean the model, I just mean like the way that they brand themselves.
Right. Well, this is an interesting take, and sorry, I don't see your name, LinkedIn user. I think Google is keeping their wallet ready to buy up the best competition instead of fighting in line for OpenAI.
If I'm not mistaken, that is more than likely Alan Barr. Alan Parley. But yes, LinkedIn sucks in terms of names on here. I can see that being the case kind of, except that DeepMind just keeps making massive breakthroughs like every single month, just the most massive breakthrough. I mean, like DeepMind cracked Alzheimer's, right? Like,
right.
That's like the number one outside of cancer, which they are cracking cancers too. Like, I don't know that people are paying attention to it. You know what I mean?
Like, what is Google lacking infrastructure-wise that they would need to, like, invest outside of the walls?
They don't have the same level of third-party support. They're trying to sort of have everything be vertical within their structure, right? They certainly have the money, I would think, for like the data centers and stuff like that. But I don't know. So like, in other words, when it comes to things like Project Stargate, I don't know how much Sundar is invested in that or how much Google is invested in that, whether they're a part of that. Once Stargate comes online, how much of that goes to Google by comparison to OpenAI? Right. So like, they're making these like just ridiculously massive data centers. And I think what Google has been doing, to be honest with you, has been downsizing its inner workforce so that they could free up, which kind of doesn't make sense, but kind of does. I mean, if you shut down an entire division, that's a lot of compute that you can now dedicate to something else. I don't necessarily work that way, but yeah.
Yeah, but like in the world of third-party support, like, and also the world of unified context, you'd think like if they have any element of completed stack and infrastructure, that their AI will benefit from that unified context. And like, could they be just leaning or planning for AI in all the ways to be that third party like support, unless you're talking about like people that own like hardware assets from a third party support perspective?
Yeah. I mean, like if they're also not doing deals with Oracle, if they're also not doing like, if OpenAI has NVIDIA as their chip supplier, then they have the top chip supplier. If they have AMD, they have the second best chip supplier. That I'm aware of, Google is not like a big chip company, though they are, you know, they're producing Willow and stuff like that. But again, that gets built by TSMC, I think. I don't think they have in-house for that. So it does become a little bit of a hardware issue at some point. There's also going to be the power issue. Google's going to have to fight for power rights against other companies too. Amazon somehow just secured a deal in Ohio. And as much as I love this stuff, again, like I don't love my power bill going up. So definitely going to the polls later today and attending a lot of local district meetings.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm not going to,
I don't count them out at all.
Right. That's the thing. Yeah. Like DeepMind is deeper than everybody else's. Like,
yep.
And when you do the math of like, you need data, you need infrastructure, you need to, the longer you've been doing it, the better. Like they check all those boxes. Right. And I think most of it's, you know, if anything, they're keeping their wallet ready, like, not to buy the competition, but ready to compete, like when it comes time to launch things. Because what's interesting as I think about it, like, and this is where AI as a management element, as a strategic guidance element that all these companies can use now to help understand this, the scale and the nuance of the market, and, you know, they should be making less mistakes when it comes to things like coming to market too fast, right? Which has happened a lot in the past, especially with VR and all these other technologies that just weren't ready because one part of the supply chain wasn't ready or user adoption wasn't as optimistic as we thought it would be. They don't have to like guess at that anymore. Right. And now they've got friends. Like, imagine all of this stuff be happening like inside of their walls. I can't imagine being like an innovator there, like not being able to like get it out into the world because the world isn't ready for it. And now they get to let other people like poke the bear a little bit too. So again, I still think, I mean, unless we're proven wrong and they don't drop the best model of the year within the next, you know, month, like everybody's expecting.
I mean,
they're in a good position.
No, they're not going to. Like that's really, I don't see how it's not going to happen.
And as I talk about this out loud, like the thing that I didn't mention that probably is overlooked by everybody is YouTube. Like,
yeah,
owning both formats of search. It's just they have all the learning data that they need. Like, it's just, yeah, their surface area to learn and develop and react and always know what's happening in the market at the largest of scales, like, is a ridiculous competitive advantage that no one else has.
Right.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that they have the advantage over, literally, they have the advantage over everyone in material science.
Yeah.
Over everyone. There is no other company that has, as outside of IBM, and I think it's just IBM, no other company is like as dead set focused on so many like crucial aspects of science as DeepMind is. It's really insane. Like, I know it sounds like a joke when I say that, like, Demis has actually hit that level of biodigital jazz, but it's not a joke. It really isn't. This guy has actually figured out, and is, you know, whether it scares you or not, it doesn't matter to me. The guy has figured out how to read humanity on the same level at a quantum scale as any other programmatic thing. Right? He's actually figured out how to like program cells, how to program DNA at this, like, at such a microscopic, not even microscopic, like, at a, you guys, I mean, you've seen Ant-Man. You understand what we're talking about, right?
And talking about going to the source of problems and not solving all the symptoms. Like, that's where you mentioned material science, like, all the sciences, they've got energy investments. Like, I imagine there are paths where it's like, oh yeah, we've got this other kind of chip that we've, you know, designed with the help of it. We actually got probably a few different options that we're going to try out. And as soon as Fusion's ready or whatever, like as soon as these other investments, it's like just the most agile possible stance covering like everything, like all natural law.
Right.
And when you can kind of like, just be ready for whatever, like we talk about, the moat is agility and speed in a world where, you know, anywhere in the world can come out of nowhere and say, let's think about it this way. It immediately gets proof of concept. It immediately makes sense to everybody. And then automatically AI will add it into the training. And now you're playing with different parameters. Are you ready? Like, what are the chances that the chips, like as they're built right now, we don't even recognize them in 5 years? Right?
Yep. Yeah, it's not, I mean, why would it still be the same? Doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't stand to reason that it would even remotely be the same technology.
Right.
And even now, like we look at, you know, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, We talk about manipulating like DNA and stuff like that, right? At like a base level. And it's like, now it's way, way deeper than that. You know, they figured out how to the whole like lizard issue, right? With being able to take a protein cell of a particular type And turns out that protein cells are the key to pretty much everything in terms of like human organic matter. They figured out how to take a protein cell, take another cell from some other part of your body, and replicate it. So in the future, when it comes to heart transplant, and when I say the future, I mean, man, the best experts, you guys, the best experts, not even like me, I can do marketing specifically. Like I can stay in a channel and about as far out as I can go is like next summer. I can't, like, I can tell you stuff that I expect to definitely be here by next year based on what's here now. But the best I can do for accuracy is like next summer. Even the Oracle has been struggling lately. It's been giving me deviated avenues, which it never did before. It used to just give us straight shots before and then tell us the ripple effects. Now it's giving me like 60% chance it could be this, 40% chance it could be like shit. Yeah. Yeah, so like again, the best experts say like the closest they can get is 3 years out. But anyhow, I would say about a year or two, hopefully less than 2 years from now, if you have to get a heart transplant, it'll be your heart that goes back in. It'll be a replica, an exact replica of your heart.
Without the bad part.
Yeah. So you'll be swapping out a 50-year-old part for a 20-year-old part. Like yeah. that to me is, I mean, I will immediately sign up to get my stomach back, right? Like that's the immediately sign up to get my old stomach back, right? You know, stuff like that, like being able to repair parts of your body that maybe we weren't able to repair before. You know, skin cancer is pretty much going to disappear. Like that's going away. I don't know what to tell you guys. Like honestly, medical innovation wise, Laura just sent me an ad for an app that this doctor put out, and the very thing that the doctor said, this is what we're talking about. We say zero cost. The doctor was like, yeah, look, XYZ percentage of people who make over $1 million have, you know, amazing health. And the reason they do is because they can afford to have good healthcare. And so this app that he put out, I think it's called Death Clock. I'm really sure. I know that like it was such a good, yep, it's called Death Clock, Death Clock AI. Look, I don't know. I'm not going to speak to the legitimacy and accuracy of this thing, but, what the doctor said made full sense, which he was like, look, you know, this app is intended to help you at a deeper level, right? So it's unlike just putting in your normal stats to some whatever weight loss application or something like that. You're putting all your stats into this app, and it's very similar to something I'm building out for marketing. It's taking those stats and it's comparing that against a huge, wide database of people that fit that same range in order to be able to tell you, hey, people who have had your same condition that are in your same shape that, you know, everything, here's what they ended up like 20, 30 years later, right? To me, that's amazing, right? Because it really does show you like, hey, if you try to cheat life now, and, you know, whatever, you push yourself harder at the gym and you keep telling yourself in the back of your mind, like, no pain, no gain, I'll deal with it when I'm 80. Now you can like see what that 80-year-old you looks like, how hunched over it is with the cane itself along, right? Because you blew out your knees trying to squat 700 pounds or some shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like. And, you know, and his thing was like, yeah, I released this app so that people can have a greater level of healthcare for a much, much lower price. And with everything that's going on with like SNAP benefits and all the stuff that's going on with, you know, the government with the healthcare thing with health insurance for people, right? Health insurance rates I mean, they're already ridiculous. It doesn't matter whether they keep this thing in place or not. If they get rid of it, you're going to pay more. That's just the way it is.
They're already paying more. Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm hearing in this household from somebody who, helps people get insurance, like through mm-hmm. the marketplace, like 3x-ing per month,
yep.
like the monthly premiums right now.
Yep.
Like at the lowest income levels.
Yep. And at the highest, I believe, I'm not entirely sure, so I would love to know if this is the case from the inside. From what I understand, if you are like 70 plus, it's like 10x. It's super ridiculous if you're over, like, so basically, if you are in the stages of life that you would most need healthcare, you're about to get screwed tremendously. Right? Assuming that this doesn't go through. Now, why do I say that? Again, we don't like talking politics. What we're talking about here is healthcare that could be healthcare costs. What the only politician that I love, and not for any other reason than this very specific one, is David Schweikart. And the reason that I love him and listen to him yelling in front of Congress so much is because he advocates constantly to put the money in healthcare towards technology that will lower people having health issues altogether. Yeah, one of the things he advocates for is like, we are paying so much for healthcare because this country is so sick.
Yes.
He's like, and the number one thing we could do is help people get better, and that will immediately lower healthcare costs, right? So it's like, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for apps. Like, again, like, I think you can definitely have apps. Bill Gates is working on, he's not working on, it's already out. It's a device called Butterfly. I'm not even joking. If you want an ultrasound device for yourself, go buy it. It's the first Bluetooth wireless ultrasound device that you can use that connects to your phone. Yep. Yeah, you know those like $1,000 tests that you would normally have to go get because there's a nurse, there's gloves, and there's jelly, and it's kind of cold and whole thing, and you got to take part of your clothes off and all this other stuff, and then you got to wait for the results and this, that, and the other thing. Nope. Now you can just sit at home, scan yourself, and guess what? Guess what happens from there? You take screenshots of those scans, and guess who you give them to? That's right. Good old Dr. GPT. And now you are giving ultrasound images plus your condition, plus your age, plus the issues that are going on, plus any external photos of yourself to a system that is practically tuned for medical advice, right? I can't count the number of people whose lives have been changed in terms of their health, conditions that were found that were not found by multitudes of other doctors. The number of people who have had their lives physically changed by GPT is crazy to me. So the fact that you can now combine these technologies in your own home and get that level of medical care 3 years into it. Yeah. 2 years, if I'm being nice, because I'm only counting three because it dropped in November of the end of 1 year. So realistically, we're 2 years in, right?
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy to me. That's how far we are. That's how, like, what's AI doing? How is it really? That's how far we are in 3 years. In 3 years, we've discovered how we can replicate any organ in your body. We have discovered 700 new physical materials, 630 of which have not even been like messed with yet, but all 700 are guaranteed. These aren't like fake ones out of 2 million that they kind of snuffed through. They lowered it down to 700. We've been able to come up with ways of making power plants 70 to 80% more efficient just in terms of their design. We have designed new methods for surgery that make recovery times lesser by like 40 to 60%. Times on scans that radiologists are doing have come down tremendously. The accuracy on radiology has gone up tremendously. Like,
left, I don't know, right, man. I can't do this. They can't look at this website and give me a comparison table without lying to me. So
can't tell me how many R's are in strawberry.
It's not, I don't think it's where we need it to be yet.
No, it's not doing any, not doing enough, right?
Oh, yeah. Man.
One day though, right? One day.
Yeah. One day. I mean, that day's today for some of us. And it's been here by anybody that's ever here every day. But give us a taste of something you've been thinking about working on as you're enjoying this abundance of tools to work
with. Something I've been thinking about working on is certainly like trying to, I would say, build out something that like helps you more personalize your like software experience when it comes to even whether it's using CRMs or anything else. And what I mean by that is I'm rolling back the clock to 2022, early 2023 when we used to do prompt engineering. And spending a lot of time on that, you know, that there's that Gary Vaynerchuk video or whatever, spent like half hour on a prompt. I spent 2 days just planning documentation, like nothing but planning, finding holes in it and all that kind of stuff, like virtually building out this thing that I wanted to build. And by the end of it, what I came to realize was, man, if I start building these in a particular way, I'm pretty sure I can just one-shot apps out of some of these vibe coders where people will be able to just take a prompt, change the variables, and get the software they want. So,
our vending machine.
So I've been working on that a little bit. And yeah, I mean, as you know, the first one was a CRM. The second one was an app for which, I mean, the CRM, like it's getting there. It is getting the Pimp My Ride treatment, today, but for the time being, still has a little bit of work, but, it was nice. That all of this was zeroed out earlier. But of course, you know, auto coding. So it just generated records for me. So I don't have to worry about that. And you know, generates all the data, and it even put in like notes and activities on the timeline for me. Like, you know, there were apps that I was thinking about building that the AI models themselves have made, obsolete. And I haven't even built them yet. So very honestly, the way in which that I'm going about like working on software and doing stuff with software has changed tremendously from being like, oh, I want to build this thing, to very much being, one of exactly like, I just want to build this thing that other people can use. So like, one of them was a subscription tracker, because everybody signs up for stuff and then they always forget about it. Right. So, this was going to be a sub tracker, you know, sign in with Google. I'm not even sure if that's actually set up. Nope. don't have an account sign in. Let's go ahead and use that one. Don't have a database connect on the back. But the purpose of this one was to be able to track your subscriptions, have real-time analytics on a dashboard, be able to export your records, log in with Google, which I just have to get an API key and set that up. Responsive design, so I don't even have to worry about mobile. It'll be a nice, should look decent on mobile as well, which it does. And have come with AI recommendations, of course, for how you should handle your bills, because why not? Stripe payment processing, because why do I need to bother with that either? Just plug it into the back end and then people can go sign up for their stuff. And then feature access control, right? So, and this was just from like, I think it was a halfway decent crap prompt. Okay, so this is the kind of stuff that I'm working on now.
Right. And so let's say, and so your cost will be the usage related to the users.
Yes, right? That's my primary cost. Yep, that's my only cost. And that cost is really ridiculously low. I don't know how much you guys look into software and software development. It used to, and I'm sure it currently is for a lot of like gigantic software companies. So I kind of feel sorry for them. It used to be super, super expensive because of the fact that you had to have so much overhead. And that overhead was super expensive too. So you're talking about paying like hundreds of thousands of dollars to people in order to do these jobs. And you need whatever, 10, 20, 30 of them, right? Adds up real fast.
And to get half adoption at the, like,
oh man.
All right. That's where we gotta wrap today, folks.
See what happens.
It's, I'm leaning more and more. It's becoming clearer and clearer, like, how, if you're starting a business, why wouldn't you just vibe code your own whole stack? Like, but more on that to come later this week. Until next time, we'll see you tomorrow morning, Wednesday, November 5th. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks, Nico.
See you guys.